Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Dick Ray. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
Going to continue our Advent season, you know, working up to Christmas and the whole concept of Advent, celebrating the arrival of Jesus. And when we open up the series, was really talking about it's celebrating not only the arrival of Jesus here to earth, but the arrival of the kingdom of God, that Jesus brought with him the reign and rule of God from heaven here to earth, and how it's changed the whole earth. It's changed our lives, those who are followers of him, and it's really changed the face of this earth. And it was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 760 years before the birth of Christ. He said that there would be one who was coming, and of the extent of his government, there would be no end. The increase of his government would continue to flow all over this earth. And that government really is his reign and rule. And with it, it's the attributes of the kingdom of God. And we've been talking about how as he came with his kingdom, he brought with him these gifts, if you will, that are now available to us. We spent some time talking about the gift of hope. That because of the coming of Jesus, because of the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God here on this earth, we now have hope on this earth. We talked last week about the gifts of peace. He brought a peace that passes understanding, that he is the Prince of Peace. And I want to continue that this morning and talk about the gift of joy. In the prophet Isaiah, as he is, again, speaking of the coming of Jesus, if you want to turn there in Isaiah chapter 9, he's outlining and talking about the Messiah that will come, and he says this in verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation," and get this, "and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest." It's a prophetic promise saying there's going to be one who's coming, and this is part of his mission. When he brings his kingdom, when he brings the government, if you will, establishing here on earth, it's going to have the attributes of the kingdom. And one of the attributes is joy. It says that the joy on this earth will be increased as people who rejoice at the harvest. Now, for that culture, that society at that time, getting the harvest in, a plentiful harvest, it meant that they were going to survive. They were going to live. There was a celebration every time they finished the harvest. It's in a very similar way to those of you who got your firewood in last night. You celebrate. Let it snow now. It's done. Get the snow tires on. It's done. Now we can celebrate. This was in greater measure. And this attribute of joy, can I tell you, it is something that is only here on this earth because God chose it to be. We are created in the image of God. We are created with a capacity to rejoice. Why? He designed us so. He could have made us without that capacity. He could have actually created the earth, and just as he says, let there be light, let there be animals, let there be trees, let there be seas. Speaking of physical things on this earth, there are other attributes I believe we have on this earth only because he chose to create them. I believe hope is one of those. I believe peace is one. I believe joy is one. God could have said, I'm going to create everything, and he could have made it without joy. But it's an attribute of heaven, and he chose himself to actually make it available. It's prophesied by Isaiah. And then we read in the book of Luke, when Jesus is born, it says that angels appear to the shepherds to announce the coming Messiah. And this is how they make the announcement. It says, an angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Here's the announcement even of the angel saying, you know this prophetic word hundreds of years ago? That there's going to be one who's going to be coming, and he was going to increase the joy here on earth. He's come. And the angel says, and let me tell you, I got some good news for you, and this good news is actually going to bring great joy to all the people. And I occasionally like to look up the Hebrew words, Greek words. The word great for great joy is actually the Greek word mega. The angel's saying, guess what? We've got mega joy here for the earth. This is not just your average, ordinary size joy. This is supersized joy. This is mega joy. And guess what? It's for everybody. Here's the fulfillment of the promise. And I love this passage because it says, after the angel says that to the shepherds, verse 13, it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests. The picture I have in my mind is here's the environment of heaven. It's one that they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. They've heard the prophecies. They've heard the prophets. They understand the will of God. They see if all of history is moving to this place where there's going to be the inbreaking of the Messiah, the coming of God's reign and rule and kingdom here on earth. They're watching it. It's coming to this point of climax, and it's like somebody's got to announce this. And I don't know if they were jostling in heaven, like, I want to be the messenger. Can you think of that role? I always like to see those commercials, you know, with someone winning the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. What a fun job. Can you imagine? Imagine being paid to go around to people and say, guess what? You just won $1 million for the rest of your life every year. I mean, that's a fun job. That's a fun announcement. And you get paid to do it. And I'm thinking, here's this thing with these angels. Who gets to announce the coming of the king? I bet they're in heaven. It's like, I want to do it. I want to do it. One gets selected. One comes down, speaks to the shepherds. They're terrified, gives the message. And in my mind, I see the heavenly host. I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels in heaven. Like, they're just waiting. Like, This one angel gets to make the announcement, and they can't contain themselves. I think just heaven just busts loose, and heavenly hosts appear, and what are they doing? They're joyfully praising God. Here's the good news. To me, it's a picture of the environment of heaven, a place filled with joy. It's because it's in the very nature of God. And can I tell you that this is a concept when we think of God being having the attribute of joy, and we think of God actually of being the most joyous being in the universe, it's not a common thought. It's not a common thought in our culture to people think of God as God, a God of joy. And I don't even know if it's a common image in the church. I don't know about you, but through the years growing up in church, it was probably an image of God that was one of the furthest ones from my mind. Throughout history, whenever Jesus is being portrayed, would you mind putting up that picture? Even in mosaics and artwork, there's pictures of Jesus as serious. Now, I understand he came and did a very serious thing. Our sin is a serious issue. It needed to be dealt with. The cross was a serious event. It was a serious journey. But can I tell you, I'm reading through the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it speaks of joy, it speaks of rejoicing, it speaks of blessing, it speaks of a God who sings over us. The images that have been portrayed through history, I think, have fashioned not only the world, but even the church, with an image of, I mean, even this, I mean, go back to it, the mustache makes him look like he's frowning. And can I tell you, I kind of grew up with this image. I don't know, some of you may have, that God's watching to make sure that we stay in line. I remember growing up thinking the reason I didn't want to do anything bad was because God was watching me. Now, part of that, there's a truth to it that he sees all things. That's important to understand. But the image I had in my mind was of a God who is not a joy-filled God, who was waiting for me to step out of line. Some of you grew up in a church or an environment like that where this concept of God was one he was waiting to punish. Then in the media, I would see movies. Jesus of Nazareth, I think, was done in the 70s. Jesus of Nazareth. How many of you have seen this Jesus of Nazareth? Right. The the music all the way through, it's just somber. And the image of Jesus all the time, it's like he's serious. It's like, man, this guy needs some antidepressants or something. I mean, it's a powerful Zeffirelli film. It's a powerful directed and produced film, powerful images. But throughout, this is what is portrayed. And as I don't know which one this is. This is another Jesus film. It's like, man, look at those eyes. I mean, this guy could be a biker, right? Change the hoodie for a leather, he's there. And can I tell you, what happens is not only does this, the image that's in the world, it creeps into the church. And there's so much of Scripture that talks really of a God of joy, that heaven is an environment of joy, that there's celebration that's going on. It says that every time a person gets saved, there's a party and celebration in heaven, like angels doing cartwheels and everything. Okay, it's the full thing. People are getting saved continually all over this earth. 35,000 people a day in China alone. There's revival going on in parts of India. In the Mideast, with the refugee problem that's going on, people are leaving parts of the Mideast, and as they're trying to get into Europe, they're being met by Christians. Maggie Mosier is over there now working with refugees, and she says that there's this whole thing of people coming, and they've been raised in a religion where God's a very stern God, and they're hearing of a God of not only love, but a God of joy. We had a man a number of years ago. He's since moved away. He was born in Turkey. He was raised a Muslim. And I remember he got saved here, and I came up after, and he says, I always grew up and I knew there was a God, but I never knew there was a God who loved me. Okay, there's something that's powerful. And I think that we've missed it until I start, you know, start reading the Bible, you start seeing some of these verses. But then even in media, I remember seeing some of the newer films coming out. If you could, I love this one here. There was a movie that was put out. It was called The Matthew Project or The Book of Matthew. Okay, The Matthew Project. And this is actor Bruce Marciano, I think is his name. And I remember I first time saw this, the whole movie is, this is Jesus. He's walking around, he's smiling, he's the happy Jesus. Someone said, he's the vineyard Jesus, you know? the guy's smiling all the time. And I remember seeing this and it was like, this is really tweaking me. This is tweaking me because the image I had growing up of years was that it was much more stern. He was much more solemn. And I love that this next picture is when he's, you know, someone gets healed. He's like, yeah, this is awesome. You know, this is the power of God flowing. I think this is a more accurate picture. A more accurate picture of really what is out there. And Scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, and it says this is the New Living Translation. Speaking of Jesus, the book of Hebrews is talking about Jesus and how he's better than the angels, better than Moses. He's higher, more elevated. And it says this even of the higher than the angels and all of that. Speaking of Jesus, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Speaking of Jesus, he has more joy than anyone else. He embodies more joy than anyone else. And this imagery that's here, he's anointed you with the oil of joy. It's actually a reference in the Old Testament. What the Jewish people used to do, every time there was a feast, they're ready to celebrate a feast. I love the Old Testament of how the Jewish people celebrated feasts. They didn't do it for a day. They did it for a week. It was like, hey, we're gonna celebrate something. And they'd do it for a full week, just going on full blown, beginning to end, 7 days, fill every bit of it. You know, we get, well, I get the day off, it's Thanksgiving. I get the day off, it's Christmas. You know, they'd say, hey, we're gonna take a week for this. But get this, when they started the feast, this is what they would do. They would anoint people with the oil of gladness. It was actually part of their ritual. We're going to start the feast. They got people in their home. They're ready to celebrate. They said, we're going to anoint you with the oil of gladness. We're going to pour it upon you. And we're just going to say, you've got 7 days to celebrate. Let the joy of the Lord fill you. It's kind of an interesting tradition. I don't know if you want to show up my house this Christmas season. You know, come over and let's see, you want 10:30, 10:40. What are we going to do? We're going to anoint you. Put it on you. But the whole premise was, we want you to focus on something. There's a reason to celebrate. The oil of gladness. And the author of Hebrews is saying this. You know what? Jesus was anointed with that oil of gladness more than anyone else. He embodies joy more than anyone else. This concept we even find in the 23rd Psalm. There's a verse in the 23rd Psalm, verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. You remember the next verse? And my cup overflows. The imagery that's there. You anoint my head with oil, and with it I overflow with joy. The imagery that's given there. And I look at all of this and I say, here is the environment of heaven, one of joy. Here's the angelic host that love to rejoice. Here is Jesus, the Messiah, the one who has come, who is filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with joy. You know, he sang. He sang before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The end of his 3 years of ministry, he knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to be beaten, spit upon, mocked, crucified. He celebrates a Passover meal with his disciples, ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, and as they were walking down, he led them in a hymn. He was worshiping and singing. Because can I tell you, there's something about joy, godly joy, it has nothing to do with our circumstances, does it? It has nothing to do with our circumstances. That's happiness. Happiness is, I got my firewood in. Happiness is, like, I got my vehicle fixed. Happiness is, you know, I got a raise. Happiness is all of these things going well. Circumstances around us can make us happy. And when those circumstances are not there, we're not happy. It's tied to this emotion of happiness. Joy is something deeper. Joy is something that's an orientation of the heart. Joy is a state of mind. Joy is something that I believe is a construct of heaven. It's part of the nature of God, and it's freely given to us. Jesus, even going to the cross, facing all of that, had the joy within him to actually be able to worship. And when Jesus came and he brings the kingdom, Isaiah 9, he comes to increase our joy. His goal is that we would have the joy to the fullness. He says this in John chapter 15, before he's going to the cross, he's with his disciples. He tells them everything that's going to happen. And he says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be complete. See, not only does he embody joy, he's come to give joy. He says, you know, here's my prayer. The joy that's in me, that you would have it too. We sing that song, joy, unspeakable joy. That's a scripture verse, Peter. First Peter, he was talking about the joy of the Lord. No matter what circumstance we have, he said it's inexpressible. You can't even describe it. There's something powerful that's there. God gives joy, I believe, as a gift. And here's the thing I've learned about gifts. You have to be willing to receive it. He offers it as a gift. It's not a given that we all have it. It's not a given that suddenly when I become a follower of Jesus, suddenly my whole life is transformed and I am filled with joy continually. I believe joy is a gift that's offered and it needs to be received. I believe it's part of the gift that he brings here to earth, and as he comes with it, he says, I want to increase your joy. How much do you want? How much are you willing to receive? I believe it's the same thing with hope, peace, and even with joy. Gifts offered by the Lord. And as he offers it to us, when it gets taken, it transforms us. It was the mark of the early church. The early church, as they gathered together, it says in the book of Acts that they were continually filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. It speaks of when they gathered together. The early church, it says they would gather in homes and they would break bread together. And it says, and they would share with glad and sincere hearts. And again, I looked up the word glad. It says it means exceeding joy. Glad seems like such a small version of joy. I mean, it sounds like a trash bag. Just glad. I'm glad. I'm glad for you. No, that's not the word picture. The word picture is exceeding joy. They gathered together. Why? Because I think they're at a place where they wanted to receive the fullness of God. They said, if he's come and brought joy, bring it on. I want it. I want to receive it. And the early church walked in that. They knew the goodness of God. They knew the faithfulness of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had his presence. And because of that, it actually was one of these things that overflowed. I think that the term gloomy Christian is actually an oxymoron. I think it's a contradiction in terms. I don't think you can be a Christian and walk around gloomy. I think it reveals what's deep down in the heart. I think this, when someone goes, you know, I'm a Christian, I know I've got the joy of the Lord, you know, I'm saved, I'm rescued, and I look at them, I go, you know, just inform your face about that, will you? Because somewhere there's a disconnect that's going on. I remember someone was telling me once that they were with a group of people and they're sitting around, they were singing like, oh, how we love Jesus. And they were looking around saying, they ain't fooling anybody. This thing about being gloomy, I think there's a major disconnect. If we don't have joy, if we're not smiling, if we're not the people filled with laughter and celebration, I think we're missing the heart of the gospel. The good news has come that is going to bring great joy, mega joy, and it's for all the people. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, he was a professor in England. He was a devout atheist, which I think is another oxymoron. I'm a devout atheist. Yes, I'm an atheist religiously. Anyway, he was a devout atheist. And he was watch Christians, and he got saved, and he got saved. He was blown away by the joy that came to him as he read the scriptures and he spent time in God's presence. He even wrote a book. The title of it is "Surprised by Joy." He was surprised by it. Because here's the thing, folks. I think not only in the world do people not have a clear picture of a God of joy. Even within the church, this is not a picture. People don't have a perception, I believe, of the God of joy in the fullness that it is. And I think the world looks and goes, I see Jesus as solemn, as waiting for me to step out of line, and then I hang out with some of his kids, and they don't convince me either. That there is this understanding that we have within us, I think, an incredible witness to the world. It's the joy of the Lord. And there is this understanding that this joy that he offers to us is really one of the greatest things that he gives to us that should transform our lives and spill out to others. How many of you are Patriots fans? Woo, look at that. How many of you, you know, like love to cheer him on, you know, it's Super Bowl and you see him win and like Brady, that's awesome. How many of you took a class on how to cheer for the Patriots? None of you. You didn't go to the class where they, you know, you're going, no, you need to raise your hands higher. No, you need to clap and scream louder. You need, okay, to be a little more forceful off the couch when you go, yeah! Okay, you're almost getting it. Practice a little bit more. Right? None of us did that. Why does it well up in us when there's something we love, our favorite sports team or NASCAR or whatever it might be, you know? Something like that happens and you go, whoa, it just explodes in us. And here it comes to Jesus. And I think sometimes in the church, it's like, Quakers meeting has begun. No more laughing, no more fun. If you show a teeth or tongue, you should pay a forfeit. No. This is God of joy who says, I offer this gift, and I offer to give it freely. And I tell you, I think it is an incredible witness to the world. I think the world is in desperate need They see darkness. They see turmoil. They see hopelessness all around them. And there's something about the world, I think, it is in desperate need, looking for something of joy. I was thinking about this week. There are people whose profession, their occupation, they get paid money just to make people laugh. I mean, comedians, right? It's a big thing. I mean, what's your profession? I make people laugh. Why? The world needs joy real bad. They need laughter real bad. It's depressing. I watch the news. It's depressing. And they have these funny little commercials after. I mean, look at even all the TV programs. I think the majority of television, correct me if I'm wrong, the majority of network television has one of two programs that are out. It's either some program where someone's being murdered, blown up, guns, right? You know, NCI, I mean, they've covered all the cities they've covered. You know, NCI Los Angeles and New York. NCI Buckfield's coming out next season. They just, right? And it's all about murder, someone being shot, something being blown up, and everybody's got guns. And then, what's the next one? It's a comedy. It's tragedy. It's comedy. You know, the comedy, it's a group of people who live together. They never work. They sit around and they tell jokes and they make everybody laugh. That's what's the world's looking at. Tragedy and humor. Tragedy and humor. I think it's because deep down inside there's something like, man, I need a relief valve. How many of you as kids need to be encouraged to laugh? I remember a teacher saying once, okay, I'm going to explain something to you. And I don't want any of you boys to laugh. She didn't have to go any further. We just started laughing then. Right? We're wired that way. There's this thing in us that we want to laugh. We want to give expression to. That's why television has canned laughter. You watch some of those comedy shows. Somebody says something. And all of a sudden you hear all these people laughing. Who are these people? They're obviously not on the set. Right? Somebody says something and you hear, woo! You know why? TV companies, whatever, they actually get groups of people in rooms and they record their laughter. Okay, we're going to get a group of people, they'll do something, everybody laughs, they recorded it. And then they go through and they'll get somebody who, you know, hey, they get this old lady cackle laugh, you know, hey! Oh, that's a good one. Let's record that one. Let's put it there, you know? And then they get a giggle laugh. They get a snorting laugh. They get all these, and they put them in the library. And then as they're going through and they're producing the show, they go, oh, what kind of laughter should we put in this one? Oh, let's do the cackle laugh. And they pipe it in there. Next time you're watching something that's a comedy, just listen to the canned laughter. Why? We're in desperate need of laughter. This world, there's something, there's more people laughing, we jump in. They said if someone is laughing, the chance of you laughing increases by like 30 times. There's something about that. And I think it's because God created us with this ability to actually be able to spread this joy and this laughter he's put within us, and the world's trying to find a way to do it. So we do it with comedy shows, canned laughter. And I think the church has a mission. I think the church has the same mission with the same announcement that the angels had. I've got some great news for you. It's going to bring great joy, and it's for everybody, even for you. Savior's come. He changes everything. He's brought salvation. He's covered our sin. He's cleansed us of guilt and shame. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. And he promises to get us home before it gets dark. He's a great Savior. Brings a lot of joy. Do you want him? That's the message we have. This is the message we have for the world. And when I think of Jesus as joyful, I think of him as J-O-Y space F-U-L-L. Joyful. And I think the world needs to see a different perspective of who Jesus is, and so does the church. The most joyful being in the universe. And as I said, he offers it to us. It's a free gift. We need to grasp it. How do we do it? Really simple. Really simple. One is to be thankful. There's something about giving thanks that wells up joy. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving? How many of you, did you spend time giving thanks for things? Do it again. Did you? Did you feel the joy well up as you did that? Why? There's this thing, oh God, you're so good. You know what? We don't have to reserve it just for the third Thursday in November. We can do it anytime. When your snowplow gets on, when you finish the siding on your shed, when you get your firewood in, when you shoot a deer, when you eat the deer. Because thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're good. It does something within us. Being thankful is one way. You know, a second way to do it, I think, is really sometimes we don't understand the fullness. It's just sing. To sing, to worship, to give expression to the things that are within us. When Paul and Silas were in prison, facing possible execution, what do? They just stop worshiping. I mentioned Jesus going to the cross. They're singing a hymn. They're singing a psalm. He's worshiping. There's something about giving a full expression to that. And I would challenge every one of you for us to align ourselves with the way God calls us to worship. The Old Testament speaks about lifting, New Testament also, lifting holy hands to the Lord. It talks about praising Him with joy. It talks about clapping. It talks about dancing. You may not see me move a lot on the outside, but man, on the inside, this guy is rocking. You know, give expression. I go through and I read this in the Old Testament. I said, Lord, all of this expression to you, to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. What does that look like? And it's a journey to discover it, but I want to align myself with the way He says to worship Him. And He doesn't ask us to do it because He's vain or needy, because it changes us. As we worship the Lord, as we give freedom to worship, something about the joy of the Lord comes upon us. Giving thanks is one, just worshiping, singing, the whole act of singing. Sing in the car. I just crank up the stereo and I just sang. So I drown myself out. And here's the third way. And this is probably the simplest way of all. It's going to be earth-shattering to a lot of you. Smile. This is interesting. God wired us. He designed us with this. Scientists have studied this and realized this. He's designed us and wired us that when our face physically smiles, the nerves connecting to the brain release three chemicals in the brain. Endorphins, which is, it's a chemical that makes people feel elated and happy. Runners, when people are out running, it releases endorphins in their body. They get what's called the runner's high, okay? You ever see someone running on the side of the road? Pull over, get them in the vehicle, and get them help. They're doing it to get off on it, and they need help, okay? No. All the runners are looking at me like, "Arr." Yeah, you're smiling while you're running. Yeah, it was the smiling. Okay. But endorphins get released. Serotonin, which is the turkey chemical, right? After you eat, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, let me find the couch." And then dopamine. I don't know exactly what dopamine does, but it's got a great name. But when you get this, God wired us that when we physically smile, all of these chemicals get released in the brain, and there's a sense of peace and joy. And this is what's interesting. Our brains don't know when we're faking it or when it's real. It has the same effect. Okay, humor me. Close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I'm watching. Close your eyes. Okay, put a big smile on your face. No, I mean a big one. Yeah, bigger than that. Yeah. Feels good, doesn't it? God did that for us. He wired us that way. Can I tell you, one of the things I've learned along the way is sometimes my actions, the things I actually do, influence me and change me. See, sometimes we think I control everything in my body. But here's the thing. Things I do in my body actually have an effect on me, change me. Physically worshiping changes me. Worship isn't just something I do. Worship does something to me. Okay? Worship isn't just something I do. Worship does something to me. Smiling is not just something I do. Smiling does something to me. This isn't New Age stuff. This is the way God designed us. Can I tell you, God's people are supposed to be the smiliest people on this earth. We got a great future. We got an awesome Savior. He is faithful. He is good. He is true. And I want to throw out a challenge to us during this Christmas season. Let's be the most joyful people wherever we go. When we're in the carts, shopping, stores, groceries, whatever, let's put a smile on our face. Let's be thanking Jesus. Let's receive the joy he promises us. Let's just say, Lord, I just want more of your joy. Because I can have as much of it as I want or as little as I think I need. He offers it as a gift. He says, be thankful, worship me, praise me, and actually just give expression to the things and the way I've designed you and let my joy come over you and fill you. Can we stand? Who needs a good dose of joy this morning? Be honest. Yeah, it's so funny. Some of us yawned when we did that. Yeah, use that. There's a couple things I want to pray for. One is for that increase of joy, and this may fit with it. Isaiah in chapter 9 talks about of the increase of his kingdom, of his government, there'll be no end, and he's come to increase our joy. But he also says this, and it's in chapter 61. He says that he will replace our mourning with the oil of gladness. That sometimes through life we grieve. Sometimes the grieving is very, very obvious. We just lost a loved one. Or there was a tragedy that just happened. And it's very apparent before us, and there's a sense of loss, and there's a grieving. But I've come to realize through the years, sometimes there's a deeper level of grieving that it sets deep inside. And it gets masked, it gets covered, but there is some, like, it's almost like a seed of grief that is there, of mourning. And it has like this residual effect. Maybe we don't slip into a deep depression. I don't know. Maybe we function through life, but it's always there. And this was the image the Lord gave me during worship. I saw a picture of a bone fractured and it healed over, but it was still all splintered. And I felt the Lord was saying this, that there are some people here where something has happened. It's almost like there's been a break, a fracture, and it's healed, but it wasn't set properly. It wasn't set properly. You can still move the arm. You can still do things. It's still going on, but it was never set properly. And it's almost to me like that's that seed of grief, the seed of mourning. And I felt the Lord said he wanted to set that right. And with it was going to be the oil of gladness. Now, some of you, it might be a physical thing also. Does anyone here have a physical bone that was broken and was never set right? I want to take a chance for that. Okay. Yeah, well, we're going to pray for... if you want to come on, we're going to pray for you that to get that set. Okay, we'll pray for you right there then. People can pray for you right there. God works all around the room. That second one is a tougher one. And I'm going to ask, if you feel that that word was for you, we'd love to pray with you. You can come up here for prayer, or if you want to, just raise your hand. I want to gather on. We want to minister to that right now. So we're going to do those two things. Who needs more of the joy of the Lord? You held your hands up before. Put them up. Gather around. People have their hands up. No one's hand went up anymore. Okay. Yeah, there's a brave person. Yeah. That word about a broken bone that hasn't been set right, does that fit with anybody? Anybody want some prayer? Yeah, just gather around. Can some folks gather around? Yeah. Some of you, yeah, move around, please. Let's do this. Anyone else? Yeah, back there. Can we pray for you there? Okay. Yeah. Mary McKenna, you want to turn around and join in prayer there? Get in some prayer. Anyone else? Liz, you said you could use some more joy of the Lord, and I really feel the Lord wants to do something special for you. Can some folks gather around Liz? God's going to release some things in her. Yeah. Anyone else? I want to do a prayer to start, and then for all of us to be released. I'll go with this, though. We'll pray first. Father, we ask that the truth of your scripture that says you are a God who gives the oil of gladness for places of mourning, that you are the God who's come to increase our joy, you are the God who comes to set things right and set things straight. Father, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would manifest yourself and you would minister this morning and you would bring full release of the things that hold us back from the fullness of your joy. Lord, if there are joy robbers in our lives, if there are things that are going on that are preventing us from being able to receive the fullness of your joy, we just break the power of that right now. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come with the oil of gladness. Lord, that you would anoint us as the children of God, as the sons and daughters of the Most High King, we'd be anointed with the oil of gladness and we'd be full recipients of that right now. Lord, you would fill us to overflowing. You would anoint our heads with oil and that we would overflow with this joy wherever we go. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come and powerfully minister that to us right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. What we're going to do is we're going to finish out. Those of you who are gathered around, I'm going to pray, Lord, would you release the prophetic as people minister to one another? And for the rest of us, Lord, may we go through this season being people of joy. Wherever we go, may we go in a fullness of joy that you offer to us. So go in the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Before you leave, turn to the person next to you and say, that smile looks really good on you. And those of you who are praying, minister powerfully. Minister powerfully. Those of you who are praying, minister powerfully.